show that we have a quorum. Order of business today, will be Senate Bill 127, which is the appropriation to Cheatham Village Association, or Cheatham Village Association. And we have one person to testify, and that's got cover the desk, please. State your name and address affiliation for the record.
Thank you, Senator. My name is J.P. Godfrey, and I live at 940 East 40th Street in Anchorage, Alaska. And should I begin my testimony? I've got something to read, two-page testimony to read. Just to tell you a few things about myself. I've been working in rural economic and business development in Alaska for 13 years. I was a feasibility study analyst and management consultant for Community Enterprise Development Corporation, general manager of Otna Development Corporation, which is a subsidiary of the Otna Regional Corporation, and more recently the general manager of Chogyung Limited, which is the Dillingham Village Corporation, one of the larger of the village corporations formed under the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act. I've also been a consultant for Alaska Renewable Resources Corporation and various village corporations. I'm currently working with Interior Village Association on a management training program for village corporation managers. President of Interior Village Association, Sandra Ventoff, regrets that he can't be here today. He's on the board of directors of Goyan Incorporated, and they're having an annual meeting at Fairbanks today. The Interior Village Association was formed in 1975 as a nonprofit service corporation by the Doyon Village Corporations. Interior Village Association, which is known as IVA, provides assistance to village corporations in the interior in accounting, administration, land management, and shareholders relations. The IVA offices are located in Fairbanks, and IVA is controlled by a board of directors that is made up of village corporation representatives. To lead into the Senate bill that Senate Bill 127, the appropriation, a little background. In 1979, Interior Village Association began looking into alternative forms of rural development since many of the conventional development strategies were not working in Interior Alaska. Village corporation investments were generally confined to service industries such as stores, fuel companies, and hotels, and many of the village corporations could not find investments within their own communities and were forced to put their money in trust funds or invest outside of their own community. Although the village corporation-owned lands contained many both renewable and non-renewable resources, just how to establish local industries to develop these resources has been and still is unclear to many of the village corporations. Interior Village Association became convinced that some form of alternative development strategy was going to be necessary for the village corporations and their villages to survive. The Development Alternatives Program is designed to work with the village corporation in Interior Alaska to establish realistic goals for development of renewable resources. The projects sought out by Interior Village Association and the villages would have the following elements. One, small appropriate human scale technology and manageable by local people. Two, they would promote import substitution. And by import substitution, we mean local production of goods for local consumption. Try to get some of the villages away from having to import food and fuel and everything that they use, which was imported from the outside. Number three, to provide long-term job opportunities for villagers to discourage depopulation of the villages. Depopulation is happening on a massive scale in rural Alaska. The younger villagers that are becoming better and better educated are finding that there's nothing in the community to offer them in terms of job opportunities. And number four, to establish cottage industries whose products can be bartered between villages. During the grant year, the following would be accomplished. Number one, engage the village citizens in the development planning process. Number two, systematically study the biological and social surroundings of each community as to reveal the complementaries within a village and between villages. Number three, to describe and analyze the options that exist for import substitution components to the integrated village industry structure. And number four, to begin implementation of the integrated village industry model. The integrated village industry model is the product of the development planning process. It would contain some or several of the following types of projects that would be applicable in any given village. Types of projects that they would be looking at would be home building products produced from local materials, small-scale agriculture and livestock production using fish products for fertilizer and feed, production and local consumption of dairy products, production of local fuel products for home, dry kiln, and greenhouse heating. That would include both wood products and the use of peat. Use of local wood fiber resources for craft and furniture production. These are just some of the types of projects that the village industry model would be trying to establish. In conclusion, the Interior Village Association proposes to embark on a totally new approach to rural development that will not only benefit the Doyon area villages, but will break trail for other rural regions throughout the state. Without such programs, village life could conceivably become insupportable within the foreseeable future. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Godfrey. Are there any questions with the committee?
Yes, just a brief thing. This bill, of course, is not a one-liner, it's a five or six liner, very short. And what you're talking about, obviously, I would assume that it would be on the basis of a contract with the Department of Community and Regional Affairs. But I was kind of interested, and I haven't had the time, obviously, to study this. We're getting some things happening, and I'm very supportive of it in rural Alaska. We have a number of regional studies, which is a coordinated type of operation, and ADC studies in the lower Tuscans, and Yukon rural study and the Otman regional study that we've done. And I'm just wondering, do you take, in a sense, elements from all of those, in the sense of a lot of the things that you're going to need for economic development need to be how you coordinate some of the activities that are going on in the various villages, federal dollars coming in, state dollars. Does that get into your study?
Yes, it does. There's both an informal network of what we should call a native corporation leaders and managers. Plus also the Alaska Federation of Natives and the Alaska Native Foundation. And people are talking to each other, certainly, about what's being done in other areas.
But will that be one of the work products that will actually talk about how you what do you see as an end product?
Okay.
If you do all these things, what are you going to end up with?
We're going to end up with a development plan. We're trying to do between 10 and 15 villages in the interior in the Doyon region to go to several meetings with boards of directors and in the process of trying to do a good resource inventory of the renewable resources specifically we're looking for in the villages. Come up with a corporate plan for village development that will set policies of the corporation that they will follow out. And it would be like a 5-year to a 10-year plan in how to develop types of agriculture, types of livestock, small businesses, we're not talking about large, huge dairy farms or huge grain farms, where we're talking about small kinds of things. The concept of what we call integrated industry is the type of thing, say a typical example would be a village. Say one village has a fish processing plant, and the byproducts of the fish processing plant could be used as fertilizer for an agricultural project in a different community. Maybe parts of also some of these byproducts could be used as feed for livestock or for some kind of fur ranching project.
Would you be dealing with the non-profit or with profit?
Profit.
The profit arm of the village.
Yes.
And so you would not be talking then about any kind of a governmental structure carried out. You'd be dealing to get input, say, from the IRA and the village council and all the rest. But you would not be looking for a structure to carry this out, with the exception of the profit making corporation.
Right. We look to the profit corporations as the local investment agents to invest their own. Well, the village corporations are the ones that have the renewable resources. And they also have a certain amount of money, not very much money given the amount of land that they have. But we look to them as to their own resources and borrowing funds to be the investment agents in the communities for these projects.
Chairman, I would mention that the federal for this area in Turkey was in my office telling about we're going to see this again and again because all the planning funds are, you know, drying up through that program, and I think there'll be other requests coming in before. What is your geographic area that you're covering?
It's the Doyon region.
It's the total Doyon region?
Yes.
On that, they had, perhaps someone else is here on that, they spent over $1 million doing a great deal of work in the various, or close to $1 million, as I understand, a major planning effort that involved all the village and so on. Has that been published? Is that based material for what you're doing, so you're not duplicating the kind of work you said?
I'm not aware of which.
Well, there was a very large one. Mr. Smith, I believe, was in charge of that operation and very large
friendship. Oh, okay. I think it might be the Tanana Chiefs.
Well, it was Tanana Chiefs, but probably the Doyon region.
No, those have not yet been published. Part of the work, the end product, and that is going to be village questionnaires about attitudinal. We're trying to get some kind of village consensus on certain broad things, and I think that there's a problem in terms of going taking back to the village and how can the village people allow the publication to be allowed to answer these questions.
As I understand it, this was a project that had been approved last year at one time and then was deleted. It had gone through several processes and
yes. Everybody thought that it was approved. I don't really understand the workings of the legislature, but
join the crowd.
But apparently, everybody thought it was approved, and somebody it just hadn't been deleted at the last moment. And I was told there was a trade off because of certain funds needed for a school project someplace. Like I said, I'm not really aware of it.
But this, at that time, did the record would show that the Union Regional Affairs had supported the concept as well as the Alaska Regional Resource Board.
Both had supported it, and a contract was being developed between IVA and Community Regional Affairs. There was going to be an advisory board consisting of somebody from Community Regional Affairs and somebody from the Alaska Renewable Resources Corporation, somebody from IVA to be the steering committee.
There would be no, as far as we can tell right now, there would be no change from that philosophy, and essentially that same contract would go forward.
That contract was acceptable both to IVA and to ARC and to Community Regional Affairs.
Any other questions?
No.
I'd like to ask just a couple at least for consideration on your part. I'm supportive of what you wish to do. The subject question of my heart has been that the creation of cottage industries throughout Alaska. But I might suggest that you should consider, and I'll make what materials I have available to you, that I think would further substantiate what I'm going to suggest you consider. And that don't put identify the projects and allow the private entrepreneurs to handle them. They have to pay an overhead for their employees' supply. There's no incentive for the long hours. Then they're going to be clock punchers. No inducement for an individual to make that clock or that activity go. It's going to reap nothing except the fixed salary and maybe a percentage of the risk.
It's a very good point, Senator. One of the concepts that we've been talking about is our joint ventures between entrepreneurs and the Village Corporation, where the Village Corporation has the resources and
themselves as the catalyst to assist them in entering into the business activity.
Yes.
But I agree with you.
I agree with you.
Welcome money out there and employment for everybody.
Any other questions?
Yes, would you sign it up to just to explain a little bit? What is the Interior Village Association? Is it a nonprofit or an association?
It's a nonprofit organization. It's a service company that provides basic. The idea is small village corporations can't afford to hire management of their own, so it's a centralized management services corporation. Has a computerized bookkeeping system for them. It has a land manager that takes care of reviewing their DIC packages from the Bureau of Land Management.
And you, in a sense, sell services then?
Yes.
The village
Processing arm?
Yes.
Not to Doyon. It's strictly the village corporations that the IVA deals with.
And how many villages do you
Twenty-six villages, I believe, were the last number of members. There's different kinds of membership contracts that they have, depending on which kinds of services they have.
But do you pursue doing this just for the village profit-making corporation? They'll receive your product.
Yes. No. Community regional affairs will receive. See, the integrated village industry model would be a finished product that Community Regional Affairs will receive at the end of the grant period, and it'll be a model of what can be done in the village that could be applied in any other villages statewide. But the village corporations will be the local development agents that will be working in the interior of the region.
Is that going to take a special structure, or just through the fact that they are a state corporation in the state of Alaska? They'll be able to implement. It doesn't look forward at this point a special kind of.
No, I hope we don't have to set up
another kind of entity in order to
no.
Set it up. So it would be the kind of thing that a profit-making corporation, wherever they are, might be able to utilize.
Yes.
That
yes.
A for-profit project.
Yes, sir.
In essence, you will be providing those corporations.
Right. We'll be putting together feasibility studies and getting financing.
Good question.
Thank you. Have a motion to
move that we move the bill out with any other bill recommendations.
Any objections?
We will now move to Senate Bill 261, which is an appropriation. The Yali appropriation. Senator McCain, did you wish to make a statement?
No, Mr. Chairman. I think it is better to take place with the last year of the campaign itself.
May I ask, we have several people here to testify.
signed up, did everybody wish to testify, or do you have one spokesman? That's fine. That's fine. I would ask that you be as brief as possible, and also try not to be too repetitive. I can't read the first name. Pat Testavelli?
My name is Pat Testavelli, and I'm from Anchorage. I work with the Ocean Pueblo Highlands Association, and I'm only testifying just to give you information on my mother's experience. She's from Attica, and her experience through the World War II thing. She lived on Attica, and it was in June of 1942. She was 12 years old, and that's when, well, the armed forces were there, and then it was, they told the people to leave the village, and they were sent to their summer camps, and they had wanted to go back to get certain stuff like clothes and other belongings, and 3 days later, well, they weren't allowed to go back during that time at all, and then they burnt the village down, and then they sent a boat, and the people left that evening. There were three houses left that they didn't burn, the three houses that had outdoor or inside plumbing and water. And then they were taken on the troop ship, and they picked up people at Nikolsky, and they went to Dutch Harbor and got the St. Paul people and St. George people. And then they were dropping off at Killisnoo, while the Atka people were. And at Killisnoo, they stayed in an abandoned herring saltery, and there was one other person there. And the captain was kind enough to give them some supplies and some blankets and mattresses that they used there that lasted them a couple of days. A week later, they gave them more food. Later on, the men worked in construction projects in the area. The women and old men worked in the canneries, and there were no stores around. They had to depend upon food that was shipped in from outside areas, so that even though they had money from the work they did, they had trouble getting food, and they got fish and clams in the summer, and in the winter, that was when they had the worst time because of the cold. And that's the two remembrances my mother has of Killisnoo, the cold and the hunger in the winter. And then later on, she went to Wrangell Institute and then to Mount Edgecombe, and then the people of the village were returned to Attica in 1945, and there were still army troops there. They stayed there until 1949 and 1950, and they'd set up quite an extensive base there. Some of the furniture from those three houses had been taken and put in officers' quarters, but when troops left, they didn't allow the people to use any of their buildings or get the furniture back. They burned all the furniture and they locked up the camp. They took the hospital supplies and dumped them in the lake that spawned red salmon, and they've just finally recovered now. And then after they locked it up, they'd send people over once a week from ADAC to make sure no one was bothering it. And that's just a brief description of her experiences through the World War II thing. Thank you.
Any questions?
I have a question. Pat, I'm going to call you back because I didn't catch your last name. I'm sorry. The sponsor of this bill in and of himself is enough to make me be for it, but I would like to ask you this question. What is your understanding of what you're going to do with the research study and the analysis after it has been done? Is it intended to sue the federal government for the actions of the troops during this particular period of time, or
no.
Is it historical, or what?
Well, part of it, there are a number of concerns in that way, but the federal government passed a bill last year that set up a commission, an 8-member commission, or 9-member, excuse me, that's going to be doing the study, and their authorization is for like a year and a half, and they have a budget to carry out, you know, the project. And they're also doing investigating the Japanese internment during World War II. on the matter, and part of the purpose is looking into what would happen to the individuals, but also the fact that during war that shouldn't have to happen to any civilian. You know, just need to be go through that experience.
It's tied in under the Japanese relocation to the federal level.
Yes, Yeah, they'll might be the commission will be holding hearings in Alaska. It'll be in they're not sure, but maybe the fall. And so this project would prepare the Aleuts and get the information so that they would be able to give the commission the full picture of what happened during the experience.
Yes, Senator, if I could, that was a special amendment that Senator Stevens got passed on to my Japanese attorney. Thank you. Yes.
I'm not sure. Well, Alfred Stepton, he's working on that, and I just know my family. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Alfred Stepton.
I'm Alfred Stepton, originally from Alaska, now living in Anchorage and working with others from Pribilof Island under the World War II project. And I highly recommend the passage of Senate Bill 261 for the reason that I feel an injustice was done to the Aleut people during the World War II evacuation. And I was a participant of that evacuation. I was 14 at the time. And I was taken from my home, removed to an area that I was not familiar with, into an abandoned cannery, where we were placed in the first 2 weeks in a bunkhouse where close to 180 people had to live in close quarters with one, pardon the expression, an outhouse we had to share. Eventually we were moved into about 20 small quarters, private buildings. And my own experience was it was about a 15 by 20 house, 20 foot by 15 foot house where 8 people had to live and share quarters. And it was built over water and there was no insulation. And the federal government, or BIA, distributed food to us, which was always canned, never fresh. If they did give us fresh food, it was apples and oranges and potatoes. Within a couple of months after our arrival at Burnett Inlet, just 80 miles west of Wrangell, most of the people broke out in boils because of the contaminated water. And tuberculosis was spread very rapidly because of the close quarters of the people. And one thing that always stayed in my mind was, why did the Aleuts have to leave on Alaska when the Caucasians that lived in Alaska remained and could live and continue staying in the village, and the Aleuts were removed over 1,000 miles from the village? And when they returned, their homes were either vandalized or their personal property was stolen. Like in my own case, there was very my dad was a Aleut, made Aleut artifacts, and he had Aleut skin boats, Aleut carving. My mother was a basket weaver, and she had baskets and different Aleut articles she had made, which we had to leave when we departed from Unalaska. And when I returned, they were all gone. And you can't set a price on these losses. But there, again, you can't set a price on lives lost, too, because during our evacuation, lives were lost because we didn't have proper medical attention and because we were so... We had one DIA teacher who was a medical aide in the village, but when an epidemic of measles, an epidemic of flu came by, she wasn't able to handle the situation, and they never sent in a doctor because the closest DIA doctor was in Juneau.
Thank you for the question. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Would you like to make a motion?
I don't make a motion.
Thank you. We would assume that we need to go at this time. So.
I'll move it out.
And we'll go back to the issue.
Thank you. We're not trying to cut you off, but I think the point is that
we understand the problem.
Sure, I think you should tell them that. I think that's an indication that it's fully on the table.
Yes, sir.
So I'll be in the chair.
We're really not trying to cut you off in the testimony. We've heard sufficient testimony on the bill to move it. Thank you.
Thank you.